Holy Spirit today wants to talk about the offense of love. You know how we think grace is offensive? People can become so riled and so angry by the idea of God's grace, and then they have this idea that it means a license to sin, and then they call it all kinds of other names, and it's no longer the grace of God. It's now it's all about human failing. Now, love is a double offense. This is what Holy Spirit's told me, because love is the author of grace. Love, God Himself, sent grace through Jesus Christ to give us the freedom to be able to come to Him, become His children, and be one with Him. Now, why that is considered so offensive, it's amazing to me. But if you are under law still, it is an offense. Because you still think you can earn it. You still think, what happens when people are upset by the fact that you say, God, for God so loved the world first, and He says, He loved us first. And then we loved Him because He loved us first. So love came first. People are get upset about that, and they think, they misconstrue it, and their focus is on their unrighteousness and sinners' unrighteousness rather than God's love. No one is saying that we don't need a Savior and we don't need Him to make us righteous. We are unrighteous without Him. What we are saying is the reason He sent Him was for love, not because we're unrighteous. And that's where people are having a difficulty. And where they're thinking that you're twisting the gospel into saying, oh no, it doesn't matter what you've done. We don't care that you're unrighteous. And that is not what's being said. What's being said is, we know we were unrighteous. First of all, we're no longer unrighteous. And that often does not get communicated. What's upsetting is it's not people who understand His love and know the Father's heart and how good He is. That is not what's upsetting. What's upsetting is the believers that don't know His heart, that accuse those that do as if they are preaching something or speaking something that is false. The devastation of it is that believers are still living beyond, it's not even just the law, the veil of Moses. They're living without the Father's heart, which was the whole point of Jesus. That's devastating to God. He's the one whose backs, we've turned our backs on Him when we do not understand that it was through the Father's heart Himself that Jesus was given. And that it was done before the foundation, it was planned, preordained before the foundation of the world for us. They don't get that for us. They think that the for us means, well, we can do whatever we want and unrighteousness can reign. No, for us means if you know that God loves you that much, why would you want to sin against Him? It's like an earthly father that treats you with care and love and kindness. Why would you sin against Him? It's the ones that treat you harshly, that beat children, that abuse them. That have no respect, that the child will then rebel. And if we look at that picture of God as the Father in the story of the prodigal son, that's still what He does. Why is it considered? There's that scripture that says when Jesus says that He came not to condemn the world but to save it. When we're sharing Him, sharing God Almighty, sharing Christ with the world. That's what He tells us to do. We're not to go there and say, you filthy, rotten thing. In fact, in none of the scriptures, none of the epistles, they did say, yes, you need to repent. They were talking to the Jews that had just crucified Christ. They said, you're the ones that did it. And they were cut to the heart, it says, pierced in their hearts. Because they realized they had destroyed the Lamb of God who came to save the world. And they were drawn to repentance through that. But when you look at all the epistles and in Acts, they didn't run around saying, you filthy, rotten sinners, you're so disgusting. God can barely tolerate you. You know, it's amazing that he sent, you know, his son for you, and you're just going to inch in. It's like, you know, we just scraped in by the cross. The cross was extravagant. I mean, you can't get more generous than that. The Father giving his only begotten son, the one he was one with from eternity, to be separated with in a point in time for humanity, there is no greater extravagance. So as we're not just scraping in us filthy, you know, dirty worms. The fact that we need a Savior and the fact that God gives us one is the triumph. Not that we have to focus on our unrighteousness before the cross. And what happens is believers keep talking about unrighteousness as if they still are. They're not even living as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then if you're not living like that, how are you going to tell any other person in the world that doesn't know Christ and doesn't know that the Father gave him for them? How are you going to tell them that it's the love of God that sent his son? It says it in the Bible. It's not another gospel. For God so loved the world. And mincing words, as some people do, saying that, oh, you have to tell them they have a need for a Savior. You have to tell them they have a need for a Savior. The Savior came. He was sent. And the analogy has been given, oh, if somebody has a terminal disease, you know, and you've got a cure, but you don't tell them they have the terminal disease, don't you think they know they have the terminal disease? They're the one with the cancer. They're the ones with the spiritual cancer in their hearts. You know, that man that I went up to the other day that Holy Spirit led me to speak to, he knew his life was a mess. He knew he was lost and alone and frightened. I didn't have to remind him. It was the fact that he was so raw with that emotion already that I actually had an opportunity, and the Holy Spirit knew he was ready to hear that there was a God that loved him, a God that cared, and a God that he could give his life to. And who would transform him. And I even said to him, you know, literally, I said, you don't have to have this crappy life anymore. Your life doesn't have to be a mess anymore. He can wash you clean. He loves you. You're valued to him. That's why he asked me to come see you. Rather than telling him, do you know, you're such a mess up. You know, and if you don't get into, you know, without the Savior, you'd have no value at all. I mean, that's like stating the obvious. But our value came not because we were unrighteous. Our value came because God loved us and he sent the very person of righteousness to save us. And if people can, that's why I find it amazing that love is an offense. True love, the love of the Father, is an offense to a large portion of Christianity. They're trying so hard to earn the unearnable, the impossible, the given freely. So if we think grace is an offense, watch out. Love is a double offense. This is what Holy Spirit's been telling me. Because everything emanates from love. Do you know when he sends you on a missions trip? He said this to me recently. You know, I said, okay, what is your real purpose? You know, I was asking him, but talking to him about Africa, you know, why are you really sending me, Lord? You know, having my little philosophical discussion with him about it. And, you know, and I'm thinking, and I talked about healings. He said, yep, there'll be many, more than you know. And I said, is that why you're sending me? No. I said, oh, to share Holy Spirit as a person so they can know him personally. Yep, that'll happen. Is that why you're sending me? No. I said, well, why are you sending me? He gave me one word. Love. That's why he sends any of us. For love. For love's sake. Do you know what we could say? You know, that scripture that says, that almost everyone knows, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. We could say, for God so loved the world, he sent love. That anyone who would believe on love would be saved, because that is the pure heart of God. Jesus Christ on the cross is the pure heart of God. And if people miss that because they so badly want to prove that they're bad and that others are bad, they've missed the whole point. of the sacrifice. He gave, I was reading it today in, I think it was in Romans, he gave his son as a sacrifice for us. There are so many scriptures that say for us. And what does it say? If God is for us, who can be against us? It's all for us. Why are people so afraid of their value in him? And that he valued them so much before they knew him. Didn't it say that he saved us while we were still at enmity with him? We were sinners. We were against him. We were his enemies. He gave Jesus before that. So how could it be about our unrighteousness? How can that be the focus of God's heart? He had to send him because we would never be one with him without Jesus. Because we were unrighteous. But as soon as we receive him, we become amazingly, supernaturally, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in that very moment, right there. For eternity. I mean, he's made it so simple. He's made it so simple for those that are lost. And he's made it so simple for you know, those that have been found and are believers. But to train people, to teach people that you better tell them they have a need for a Savior and they're unrighteous and they're scum. You know, and if they don't get that, well, they're not really believers. They're missing, they're like taking the scriptures, you know, it's that rightly dividing the word. And you cannot rightly divide the word unless you have Holy Spirit at the helm of your reading any scripture and of your interpreting it. You know, this grieves God no end. And if you know the Holy Spirit personally, when you hear people speaking like this, twisting the scripture to such an extent that they sound righteous, it's a false humility. We were unrighteous and we need a Savior. Yes, we did. He came. He lives in us. And he can live in these other people that don't know him yet. Why don't we get to the triumph? Why don't we get excited about it? It's just so grieving to Holy Spirit that Christians are in such bondage. This is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, you know? When there's no liberty, when there's bondage again, when the Word becomes used as a straitjacket, this grieves the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Father's heart was poured out. How much more? He can do no more to give them himself, to give them freedom, to give them righteousness. He can do no more. And the focus becomes on the unrighteousness being more important than God's love. Now that is false humility. If my unrighteousness is greater than God's love, and that gets put on a greater pedestal, it gets put on the hierarchy above, you better tell them they need a Savior because they're unrighteous, otherwise you're preaching another gospel. The gospel says, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Where is unrighteousness there? Where is that word even? I am not talking about, I know there's a movement that goes, oh, you never have to repent and you never have to. I'm not saying that. Repentance comes naturally from, you know, you are face to face with the love of the Father. You can't help but repent because repenting is turning to him. When you get the greatness of his love, when people come to salvation because they know that, you know, they've tried everything else, every other door was a dark alley, and they feel drawn, they don't even know why they're drawn, because they don't understand, they're not born again, how can they even understand? But they know they're drawn by this love, they don't even know it's love. But they say, yes, okay, I've done everything else, and wow, you know, my life has become a worse mess than I ever thought, and all right, maybe this is true. I'm not sure. I'm afraid, but I'm going to say yes. And they might hear the fierceness of the enemy telling them it's crazy, it's wrong, it's this, it's that, because he's trying to fight to keep them in his kingdom. And then they say yes, and they still don't maybe understand. But over a period of time, it can be over a moment, it can be over a few hours, it can be over a few weeks. They know the love of God. And it is through personal revelation that they're going to understand it, not because they were told they were a dirty, rotten sinner. It is personal. God personally indwells them through Holy Spirit and reveals the truth because he's the Spirit of truth. But people aren't told that. They're told you get this little thing, you sign on the dotted line, I made a decision for Christ, and I'm in. And I agreed, I ticked the box, I was a dirty, rotten sinner, I have a need of a Savior, yeah, tick that box. And without him, I would be going to hell. Yeah, tick that box. And I signed on the dotted line, now I believe. Now I believe what? And then they, you know, go from there. I mean, there are so many people that have made, quote unquote, these decisions that do not follow along with Christ, that are not believing with their lives, with their heart and souls, who he is, who he made them to be. And they just go off on their own merry way or unmerry way. Is that what we want? When I want to witness to somebody, I want to witness the goodness of God, the love of God. Is that not what Jesus did? Look at all the sinners he not just hung out with. Look at all the sinners that came to him. The adulteress, naked in the street for crying out loud, obviously guilty. Does he have one word of condemnation for her? Does he say, you dirty, rotten sinner, get on your knees and bow down to me, and I'll forgive you because you have a need of me, the Savior? He says, where are your accusers? After he said, cast the first stone. They're not here, Lord. So is there no one to condemn you? No, Lord, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And when he said, go and sin no more, it wasn't like, be a good girl. She came face to face with God through Jesus Christ. Don't you think that might transform her from the inside out? You could have killed me, Lord, by our own law. And you didn't. You condemned me not because you came to save me. Now, in modern day Christianity, they would have faulted Jesus. Why didn't you tell her? She had a need for you. And she, you know, she's unrighteous. And without you, she's going to hell. Why didn't you tell her that? He didn't say any of that. Because when you come face to face with the love of God, who Christ himself is, there are no need for those words. You already can see that love loves you when you're unlovable. And this little trick that Satan has used on the body of Christ for however many centuries, probably since the first century church, because that's when everything went kablooey, about 150 AD. Since that time, that little, you know what he does that? He takes one little aspect of scripture, twists it to no end, as he did in the garden, and says, oh, you better say this. There's no freedom in it for people to actually relate to that person personally. Because if you know Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit knows that person. They made them in the mother's womb. They know that person you're talking to. They know that he knows the number of hairs on their heads. He knows what they've been through, the trauma, that they were abused as three years old as a child, that they've turned from God because they think God didn't love them. He knows that they were married four times and no one loved them. None of them, that they've been lost for most of their life, and they are so desperate, but so proud, and so frightened, that if someone comes at them with, you sturdy, rotten sinner, they will tell you where to go in expletive deleted. But he knows them. And if you are a believer yielded to Holy Spirit, he will tell you, because he knows he can trust you, he will tell you what's going to touch and open that person's heart. He will tell you if they're very intellectual, so don't insult their intellect, because that's not going to work with them. He will tell you, no, this person, the abuse level was so high that you're going to have to be so tender with them. Otherwise, they're going to run. He will tell you that they had been so dominated by their father that any authority is going to terrify them. And if you come on with the hard word on them, they will back off or become aggressive. He will tell you all of that, but he won't tell you in words, okay? Don't say this, do say that. He's not going to do it. He's going to flow out of your very mouth and out of your very being. You're not even going to know what you're going to say. When I went up to that man, I had no idea what I was going to say. I didn't even know if he needed a physical healing. I didn't know if he was troubled. I just went up to him. He told me a brief synopsis of what had happened. And it wasn't so much from there. That would just led me into what kind of prayer did he need. You know, he didn't need a physical healing. He was emotionally distressed. He wasn't showing it on his face, but it was, you know, when he told me. And from there, Holy Spirit took over. Now, see, the problem is when people go into the usual, you know, you have to tell them they're unrighteous, otherwise you're not explaining. It's like saying, if you don't tell them they're unrighteous, you're not giving dignity and glory to God. I don't need to